Good morning, and happy Canada weekend to you all. And like Jen said, thank you all so much for sending us to the General Assembly. It was such a blessed time that we had. You'll see in your bulletin, hopefully, there's a little added insert. And what Jen and I desire to do is to share over the next few weeks some of the things that we got out of some of the seminars that we went to. And so today is that I wrote up just a few bullet points for you to read, and if you want to engage, ask some questions, that would be great. It was all about discipleship, which is kind of a big deal. So that's one of the seminars that I went to, and so I just wrote a little bit up on that, and we'll do this over the next few weeks. I'm going to pray for the kids. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children that you bless us with, and Lord, the gift that they are to us all. And Jesus, as they go to Sunday school now, I just pray, Father God, that you bless them in a mighty way, that they grow in a mighty way, Jesus, in your name. And as we look at your word, I pray that it's not about me, it's all about you, that you use me despite my many, many weaknesses, Father God, that this be all about your glory. Open our hearts, open our ears to you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. I'm going to have you talk during my sermon right now. I know, right? I know some of you may heckle me anyway, and some of you may fall asleep in a sermon, but this time I'm giving you an opportunity to talk to each other, just for 1 minute, okay? And the question I'm asking you to talk to each other is, what do you love so much about Canada? What is it, when you think of Canada, that you just love? So, 1 minute. Ready, steady, cook. Go for it. Okay, 10 seconds left. Okay, that'll do. Good to hear so many voices. Okay. Raise your hand if you mentioned, when thinking about Canada, something regarding people, whether it be friends, family. We have a few people over here. Hockey, I mean, that includes people. So, okay, there's a few people with their hands up, okay? I like to hear some freedom. Some people said freedom. By the way, that involves people, so if you mention that, that includes people. That is about people, so hands are up. You see, because when I reflect on this 10 months that we've been here, actually almost 11 months that we've been here, I've not been to Nova Scotia, right? I mean, or Newfoundland. I mean, I struggle to understand Larry Ingersoll. I mean, I love him to pieces, but when he talks to me, I need a translator. So he's out back doing a great job at the front, so hope he's listening. And he didn't walk off. You know, I've not been over there. So I can't say what I love about Canada is the people on the East Coast. I'm sure they're great people, but I don't know them. What I love about Canada is you guys. And now, I know some of you are from the East Coast. I know Rob saw I put his hand up, but you're here with us. So that's why I love you, because you guys are the ones who, led by the Holy Spirit, called us to be with you. You are the guys who have loved on us as a family. You are the guys who have supported us as we've moved house a couple of times. You know, you guys have loved on us when Jen and I went away to General Assembly, and many of you stepped up to look after our children. So when we think of Canada, we think of you guys, because you are our community. You're the people that we love, and we are so thankful to God for you. You see, it's great being in a community. It's great being with people that you can rejoice with, celebrate life with. Whilst Jen and I and Glenn and Brenda were stuck in an airport, many of you were gathering together to celebrate life of two new babies in the church body. That's great. We love celebrating life together. We love celebrating success. People graduate from school and we celebrate with each other. People celebrate birthdays or retirement or whatever it might be. As a family, we enjoy celebrating together. But also with people, there comes heartbreak. There comes difficulty. There comes death. And that's not something we like talking about. Is we love talking of the high moments. We love having fun with each other on Canada Day. But then there comes the moments in life where people lose their job. How do we support each other? There comes a time when someone loses their parents. How do we support one another? There comes a time when a spouse passes away. How do we support that other person? It's easy to support and love when things are good, but sometimes there's an awkwardness of, what do I say to someone who's in a difficult moment? What do I say when someone's really struggling? And sometimes in community, it's difficult. We want to be there, but we don't know how much. We don't know when we're imposing. See, the Apostle Paul, I think he was in a similar situation. He loved, when you read his letters, celebrating victory. He would start a lot of his letters with praise. Thanks be to God of what's going on in that community that he's writing to, whether it be the church in Philippi or Corinth or Galatia or whatever it might be. He would praise God for them, or Ephesus. But there are also times when Paul would go through hardship. And the great thing about Paul's writing is he shared that hardship, something that maybe sometimes we may struggle to do. In 2 Corinthians, verse 5 and 1 to 3, Paul is writing to this church in Corinthians, and in this section that I'm going to share, he's writing on behalf of his fellow preachers, of struggles, of where they are at. He's all well and good and saying about praises that they go through, but right now he's sharing to a church that hopefully are praying for him, that are journeying with him, some struggles. This is what he writes. For we know when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. I'm going to pause right there before we continue. Here is sharing of on their trials, on their journeys, the persecution that they face, the injuries that they occur, the hate that is thrown at them. To say, do you know what? At times, it is just too much. It is just too much. We are just ready to depart these earthly bodies. We are ready to be with Christ in heaven. Because right now, there is pain that we are going through. And at times, it just feels a little bit too much. You may have came this morning with a lot of pain. You maybe came to church with that good church smile that we quite often do. Walk through the church doors and smiles come on because we're in church and we have to show that we are happy all the time, which often is not the case. But you have maybe came through these doors not smiling on the inside. Maybe you've had a week that has just been really tough, or a month, or a year, or years. But you've just not shared it. You feel, what will people think of me? Will they think I'm weak, defeated, not a good Christian because I've had struggles? Which is all lies. We need to be a body that not just celebrates life together, but journeys through life together. Through the highs and the lows, being a place that we're able to share with one another. Actually, I'm not okay today. And when we do this, and I fall to this all the time when greeting people, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. How are you doing? We do that. It's just a greeting. It's just basically saying hi, but we're asking, how are you doing? I'm good, thanks. How are you doing? I'm good, thanks. What would we do if when we're going through the chain, if someone says, absolutely terrible? Would we be stopped in our tracks? We'd be shocked that someone's going to be so honest and go, actually, I've had a terrible week. Oh, I wasn't expecting that, just kind of was doing a greeting. Paul was sharing with these believers to say, do you know what? At times, even I'm just ready. It's tough. Now, we're going to get to some success in a second as the passage moves on, but I want to encourage you to share. Now, that might not be totally comfortable for pretty much all of us, but I really feel it's an encouragement that we need to do together. To allow other people to journey with you. We really encourage people to be part of connect groups. Now, you keep hearing us talk about connect groups. It's like a sub-ministry of the church. We're a church that does connect groups or house groups or whatever you might call them. But the great thing about connect groups is these are people that you meet that you can journey with. The reality is there is, on a good Sunday, 110 plus people. It's summer. People go on holiday. But on a Sunday, we can have up to that number. The reality is, let's get real, you are not going to know someone that you maybe don't talk to as well. You're not probably going to go to someone that you've not maybe said much except for a hi from last week to share your soul, to share all your burdens. That's a reality. But, hello, if you are journeying with people in a connect group, you are knowing those people over a prolonged time. Now, we do a group on a Monday night, and we're still in the baby steps because we've only been going for 10 months. Some of you guys have been going on for many years and are closer together to be able to share in a real deep way, and that's beautiful. But if you are not part of a group, if you are not part of people that you're able to journey with and share, I really encourage you to do so. Because when those moments in life come, and they do come of trouble, of pain, you can journey with people. You can say, do you know what, guys, as you're going around the circle, I am not okay. I have had a really bad week this week. And your brothers and sisters in Christ can pray for you, can support you, can listen to you. We need to have that culture as a church, as a listening church. Again, not just, hi, how are you, but hi, how are you? And connect groups are a great place for that. Our desire as pastors is in 5 years' time that everyone who calls Southside their home to be part of a connect group. Whatever that might look like, whether it be midweek or whether it be on a Saturday or whether it be whatever, to fit your needs so that you have people that you are journeying with. Because it is as essential as a Christian to have people that you are journeying with. You are not alone. So if you are in that moment right now, I do want to, that's why I've kind of just stopped there, encourage you. Share. You're not alone. We want to journey with you. And Paul is saying at this moment in verse 3 that we are ready. Sometimes it's just so hard we are ready. But then in verse 4, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies and clothe us. Rather, here we go, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. I love that picture, being swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee has given us his Holy Spirit. That God is in us. That you may be going through a tough patch in life. To know that the Lord your God is with you. He's not bored of you. He's not fed up. He's not ran off. You may have had people in your life do that to you, but God does not. He is faithful. He is the rock. But the thing is, we have to call him in. Again, I shared a few weeks ago, too often we see God and Christ as past present. We say, presence. We say, thank you for saving us. And we look forward to the future of being with you. But we totally, too often neglect the now of being filled, being swallowed up by the Holy Spirit. In life, there are trials and troubles, but you can have God in you to guide you, to give you that strength, to give you that peace. Paul's saying there is victory today, not just when you take your final breath, but today we can have life in Jesus. We can be filled by him. And that's a reality. That's truth. That's an experience. It's not just a story. It's not just tradition or religion. That's an experience in life that you can experience God today. And too often we neglect that. I can do it on my own. I can get through it. Don't worry. God, you go to other places in the world that you know, I'm fine. No. Humble yourself. Cry out to God because he wants to just swallow you up. I love that. Swallow you up and just fill you. Your cup overflows with him. But you got to choose it. Same for the church. It's great to go to General Assembly and see the church in Brazil, church in Africa and Asia and stuff, booming. There's a church in Brazil, a Nazarene church, that has over 10,000 members. And the guy got up in one of the seminars that I was watching online afterwards to complain that he can't have enough board members. He wants more board members because he has the manual states you can't have more than 25. And he's like, I have a church of 10,000 members. I need more. I'm like, that's a kind of a cool problem. dude, chill out. You got a good problem going on. But if we look at the stats in the West, it ain't so hot. And people talk of the death of Christendom. But I look at scripture like this and go, I believe in life. I believe in a God who breathed life. If you're reading our daily readings this week, not only would you have read this passage in 2 Corinthians, but you'd have read in Ezekiel. This valley of dry bones that God takes Ezekiel, this prophet, to literally death. No hope. No life. And here's this valley of dry bones, and God does this miracle in front of his own eyes. And you probably know this story well. As he's looking, Ezekiel's looking, flesh starts appearing on these bones. Life is breathed in to these dead, past it bodies. And God finishes with this little, I love it, in verse 14 of Ezekiel 37. He finishes with saying, I will put my spirit in you, and you will, not you might, and you will live again. I, God, not you. Doesn't matter how many ministries you put on. Doesn't matter how many Sunday school classes you have. Doesn't matter about signs outside or music inside or how many board members you have or whatever, whatever, whatever. Only through God is there life. And we have to come to the place of going, we have to submit to that as a church. We have to go, you are the creator, not us. We have to submit to you. Life is intentional. When God created the world, the universe, it wasn't a fluke. When he created you, you are not a fluke. You are purposely, beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully created. You're not a fluke. He delights in you. Life in church is not a fluke. But we have to intend for it. We have to say, God, your way, not my way. We may have to say, we thank you for the past. We thank you for what you did 20 years ago. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it might be that we turn back to. We thank you for that. But for life to happen today, we have to submit to you. We have to allow you to swallow us up. We have to allow you to reign in our lives. And for you as an individual, you've got to come to a place, a of acknowledging God is God and you are not. We've got to come to a place where we say, Lord, I need you. I'm feeling dry inside. I'm feeling like I'm just ready to go. That I can't do this anymore. I need you to fill me, to lead me, to guide me. Revival starts where? In us. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for God to work in an amazing way in our lives? To really churn us up as a church, ready to do something maybe we've never done before, maybe make us uncomfortable so that we experience the Comforter in our lives? Are we ready for that? Are we prepared for that? For life to begin, sometimes we have to let some things go. And what we might have to let go is some things of our traditions, some things in our past. Maybe something hurt you many years ago. And we just can't let that go. God wants to fill us in a mighty way, but until we're willing to go, okay, I want to be on a journey and a process of letting that go. Until we're even at that place, we're not going to be filled. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless us. But we have to allow him to work. I want to, as we about to close, and I'm going to mix things up a little bit. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I'd love us to actually sing what we just sang just before it as well with my soul, to close us with. And as we sing this song, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Whether it be just where you are at, or whether it be at the altars. To say, God, I'm not in a good place right now. I've had a real difficult season. Now, I thank you that it is well with my soul. I thank you that I have eternity with you, and I can't wait to be there. But, Lord, I need you now. I need to experience you now. I can't wait till death. I can't wait till I'm with you in eternity. I need to experience you now, because right now, it's just tough. It's hard. And I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I don't know what's happening the day after that. I'm scared. I'm anxious. Or whatever it might be consuming you, Lord, I need you. Cry out. This has to be a safe place that we can cry out to each other. Because I also want you, after this is finished, even with the hustle and bustle of maybe people talking to each other, is maybe if you have something to share, if you have something to share with someone that you're holding on to, that you can't let go, or is really consuming you, even if they start talking about the weather or their day yesterday, just stop them in their track and say, can I just share with you? Can you just pray with me? Because we are the church. That's what we're here together, to journey together. Don't leave this place still bringing the messiness that is consuming you. Give it to God, number one. But then share it. Allow someone to journey with you. Allow someone to pray with you. So you know that you are not on your own. Jesus. Let's allow this place to be a place filled with God's people praying for one another, sharing with each other. Again, don't leave if you just want to share, either with myself or someone that you've been journeying with longer, that you trust, that you love. Allow God just to fill you. Philippians 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Father God, as we go in you. We go as your church, as your body. Help us just knit together. Be people who just love on each other, who care for one another, who want to journey and disciple each other. Help us grasp that, Father God. And Lord God, we just lift up all things to you. All that concerns us, all that's hurting us, we just lift it to you, Father God. We need you, Jesus. We need you each and every day. We thank you that we can sing this anthem in confidence that we, Father God, we are well in our soul because of you. Only because of you. Jesus, we praise you. Bless each person, Father God, this week. In a mighty way, Jesus. In your name, we ask. Mm-hmm.